turn in your Bibles, the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and I want to read like verses 43 through 51. Enough frivolity, anyway. Well, we may not be done, but this is not going to be your typical Mother's Day message, although somebody was having one down the road. And they invited Deb, but she didn't go. Yeah, exactly. It might have had something to do with the fact I drove by it at 55 mile an hour. But see, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 43. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near, and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Now this account, incident, teaching, comes right after the events of Passover night. The Passover had just happened. Because we read in verse 13, where it says, and the blood shall be for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And he did, when he saw the blood. So, the firstborn of those that were not protected by the Lord had died. And there was an uproar in Egypt. Then Pharaoh told Moses and Aaron, go away. If you want to paraphrase it, just go. He said, take your stuff and go serve the Lord. He said, take your herds and your flocks too. And he said, and bless me. It didn't last very long. But Pharaoh did let him go. It didn't last very long. But he did tell them to go. And they went. Then the Lord gave this ordinance. And the Lord made this statement to both Moses and Aaron. This was not just Moses up on the top of a mountain getting the law. This is before that. This statement was made to the representative, basically, of the law, Moses, and the representative of the priesthood, Aaron, before there was a priesthood. Amen. He told them both. This, and if you want to, you can leave that out, because it is in italics where it says, this is the ordinance of the Passover. He says, this, the ordinance of the Passover. And I look, the word translated ordinance is translated 22 times as ordinance and 77 times as statute. It's not phrased as a request. is a command. It's a statute. It's a rule. It's an ordinance. A little later on it says, one law for those that travel with you, one law for those that are born among you. The definition of this word is statute or ordinance. That's what I looked it up. This wasn't a debate. There was no vote. God told them how it was. The reason there wasn't a vote is, as Walter has put so eloquently, God doesn't run a democracy. Man doesn't have a vote in what God says. God declares, and that's the way it is. This, the ordinance of the Passover. The thing that struck me is how singular this is. The ordinance of the Passover. It's not one of many. It's not one of a few. This is the ordinance of the Passover. No stranger shall eat thereof. Now he gives instructions. But he had already given those instructions as how the Passover meal was to be done. The Passover is to be eaten in one house. No flesh is to be carried abroad. Not a bone of it is to be broken. And all the congregation shall keep it. The congregation of Israel shall keep it. Those are the requirements of the Passover meal and celebration. However, there is the ordinance. Just one. And only one. There shall no stranger eat thereof. It's a flat statement. And the reason it's a flat statement is because the Lord doesn't have a habit of making requests. Because this is called the Lord's Passover.
Amen.
It's His Passover. Because He is the one passing over. We are passed over. The children of Israel were passed over, but it was the Lord who passed over. And it was the Lord who dealt out death in that night to those he did not pass over. But in order, this is after that night. And they were commanded to keep this Passover. I believe they call it what? The beginning of the year. The first month, the first feast. And that threw me off for a while with the Jewish calendar. Until I found out that the Jewish had two calendars. They had the religious calendar, and then the Jews had their own secular calendar. And the Passover is the beginning of the religious calendar. I don't know why they need two calendars, but they got them. In order to eat this Passover, after this, it says, you must be circumcised. Mm-hmm. That's the ordinance. He goes on to describe it. He says, no stranger shall eat thereof. And that word stranger means alien. No one outside of the children of Israel was to eat this Passover.
Amen.
Unless they became part of the people of Israel. They joined themselves to the people of Israel. And the word actually, when you look at the translation where it says no stranger, it actually, there's a word in there meaning, the first part of it meaning son.
Yeah.
No son of a stranger. No son stranger. It all has to do with family. Every bit of the Lord's work has to do with his family. It didn't matter. He clarified. It didn't matter if you were born with them or if you weren't. If you were the son of a servant who was uncircumcised and you were uncircumcised, you didn't take of the Passover. No stranger shall eat thereof. The question of hospitality did not enter into the Passover. Didn't matter if you were visiting. The question of being neighborly didn't enter into the Passover. No stranger shall eat thereof. This, the ordinance of the Passover. The Passover of the Lord. Now this is still a meal, an observance of the family of God.
Amen.
And no one else. The Passover lamb was still put up and observed for imperfection. And if no imperfections were found, that lamb was slaughtered, but not a bone of it was to be broken. Mm-hmm. It's a picture of Christ. Its blood was shed, that lamb was slaughtered, and then it was prepared for consumption. It was served in one house. Consumed by one family or two families if they were too small to have a lamb of their own. And no piece of the lamb was to be left over. It all was to be consumed at that meal. And it was consumed in one night. That house then, therefore, was identified as being a part of the family of God.
Yeah.
That house, that family, partook of the Passover lamb. And no stranger ate thereof. Not one. No servant who lived with a family was to eat unless that man had been circumcised. Not one. No rich merchant visiting or whatever was to eat unless he was circumcised and joined the family of God. All the congregation of Israel was to keep this. And if you weren't of the congregation of Israel, you were not. Now, in reading this, I keep coming upon the thought of circumcision, which I believe in this case, well, most cases, a representation of regeneration.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, there are several references to this in the scriptures, and I've got a couple of them. One of them is from the words of Jeremiah. He wrote, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised. I didn't stop there because this is Jeremiah, you know. And all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah was comparing the house of Israel to the children of Ammon and Edom. Moab. This was not a good comparison if you were a part of Israel at that time. This was not exactly what would we consider a compliment. He was comparing the people of Israel to those who were uncircumcised physically, because he said they were uncircumcised in the heart. They didn't know God. That's what Jeremiah said. They were unregenerate. God looks upon the heart.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
That's what he looks at, according to the scriptures. And then the other one, Stephen, which is one of my... It is a favorite of mine. Because Stephen related this to the high priest and to some others just before they stoned him to death. He started off basically telling them their history. And he goes back to this night when God passed over and we came out of Egypt. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, that was because of the Passover of the Lord. The power of God. And he goes on through their history and then he ends up with this. This is Acts 7:51. Ye stiff-necked. That's the word Moses used back here. He said, you got a stiff-necked people.
Yeah.
And he didn't know it when he said that. They were making a golden calf. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye.
Amen.
Welcome to the description of the unregenerate.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
As your fathers did, so do ye. But Stephen didn't stop there. He kept going just a little bit. He said, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers.
Yeah.
Stephen was trying to win friends and influence people. And he did influence people. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Mm-hmm. And then it breaks loose. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on them with their teeth. And then they gathered around, grabbed him, threw him outside, and they stoned him to death. And Saul stood there watching their coats. But right after he was saying this, they bit him. They gnashed on him with their teeth. The high priest was there. As they said in those days, the high priest of that year. They were uncircumcised in heart and ears.
Yeah.
And see, right there, Stephen was prophesying. And he told them, your daddies and your granddaddies killed the prophets and persecuted them.
Yeah.
And guess what? So do you.
Yes.
And guess what? They got mad and they killed another prophet.
Yeah.
Welcome to the uncircumcision. Welcome to the unregenerate religious man. If you disagree with them and if you explain to them what they are, and what they've done, they'll do it again.
Amen, that's right.
Yeah, they'll continue.
Because there is no cure for unregeneration except the Holy Spirit makes someone alive. Circumcision of the heart and the ears to where you will hear the word of the Lord and you will believe it in your heart, in your being, in your soul, in your mind. And you will accept that Stephen was telling the truth. It may have been my fathers, my grandfathers that killed the prophets. Because it was guys just like me that did it. I was no different. Of course, Stephen did a little different. He said it was guys like you. As a matter of fact, it was your fathers and your grandfathers that did this. And it hurt worse because he was telling the truth. That fellow's talking bad about my family. Prophets were always being threatened with death in the scriptures, and some were killed. Don't tell me I'm just like them. I didn't do that. Don't say it was my family that killed them. They didn't do that. That was somebody else's family. That's the way it works. The thinking of man is a wondrous thing. It's not wonderfully good, okay? But it is wondrous. Because the capacity for self-deception of the human being has never been measured. And it can't be measured. I wrote this down because it made me think of it. You've seen this on TV, and I have too. Unless you're smarter than me and you turn the thing off, okay? There are people who say they have lived through their past lives, been hypnotized, and they see their past lives and all that stuff. And they was the Queen of Sheba, or they were, you know, the King of Siam, or they were the Duke of Death or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But you will never find one of them reliving a past life where they were shoveling manure out of stables. No. Not one. Because the capacity for self-deception of the human being has not been measured. And it is almost infinite. And that's not even taken into consideration demonic possession or anything else. Or influence, even. Because everybody that's ever lived a past life, they only remember ones where they were big shots. I don't believe that stuff. But it was people just like me and just like you who stoned the prophets.
That's right. Yeah.
It was lost, unregenerate, totally depraved men who hated God and what God said and what God's prophet said. They hate the word of the Lord. And that goes for the word incarnate, and that goes for the word verbally. They hate it. And they don't get to eat the Passover. I'm sorry, they don't. That's God's rules, not mine. Now, I'm still depraved. I know a little bit now of what I'm still capable of. Except for the grace of God. Most people don't. Most people think in this day and age that they're civilized. And they are. But they don't realize that civilization is about this thin. It's a veneer, a very, very thin veneer laid over a depraved person. That's all it is. Now, I am very, very thankful for that thin veneer, because socially it makes things a lot more, well, put it that way, civilized. I'm thankful here in this country I do not have to carry a gun strapped to my hip to keep people from wanting to shoot me. It may not stop them from wanting anyway, but still, you know, at least stop them from the attempt. The Passover was the taking into themselves of the family of God of the Lamb. No stranger is to eat thereof. None. And I'll tell you this right now, there is no stranger in the family of God partaking of Christ. It doesn't happen. Now, anybody can eat Passover. I mean, you know, they do it now. There are people that have it, and they have family over, and they have friends over, and they're explaining, you know, the significance, the historic significance, and there's nothing wrong with that as far as I'm concerned, because that part's over. You know, that part's gone. We've got a new commandment. We do celebrate the Lord's table, where we eat the bread and drink the wine, representing his body and his blood that was shed for us. Yeah. His sacrifice. The actual, literal, real occurrence fulfilling the Passover. Yeah. Now, it tells us in the New Testament, don't take it unworthily. Because he who does, bad things happen to. No stranger is to take of the Lord's table either. Now, we're not here to stop anybody from taking it. It says examine yourself. And that's one of the things I agree wholeheartedly with Earl about. I don't know what a closed communion is good for, Mason. I mean, it's closed to the family of God, yes. But as far as closed to a building and an assembly, all the congregation of Israel are to keep it. And all of the family of God are to participate in the Lord's table.
Amen.
Period. I mean, who am I to say to my brother, I'm sorry, you can't eat with us? I'm sorry, that's ignorant talk. It might be a rule or regulation of a place. But it's not a rule or regulation. It's not an ordinance of the Passover or of the Lord's table. All it says is no stranger shall eat thereof. And if you're my brother in Christ, you are not a stranger. If you are my sister in Christ, you are not a stranger. You're family. And you're welcome to eat. Matter of fact, we invite you to. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Jesus Christ, our Passover, who came and gave himself as the sacrifice for sin forever. Thank you for giving yourself, for taking upon yourself our sins and purging them, taking on the punishment for them, so that we, your people, your family, shall not be punished. In Christ's name, amen.